लगुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, श्री श्री गौर गदाधर जी की जय, श्री श्री दौजी गोपाल की जय, श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमान सो Good evening to all, welcome, and we are continuing with our series of lectures. Today we have Istagosti or Q&A, having concluded officially our series of on Japa retreat in the morning. So tomorrow we are celebrating Sri Krishna Janmashtami, so somehow we are building up to that climax today, tomorrow. So today the idea is to invite any of you, if you have any questions, topics, doubts. Sumati had one from yesterday, so we will begin with that one. You can repeat it again if possible, and we can try to say something about that.
In the first chapter of the 10th canto, describing the birth of Lord Krishna, there's a verse, I think it's 63, it says that Nanda Maharaj and the other Prajavasis and are denizens of the heavenly planets.
Mm-hmm.
They came to assist Krishna in his pastimes. And I thought I heard Guru Maharaj say that all the Krishna's assistants in this Prakat Lila came from the apricot, we will lift them.
Mm-hmm.
There, this eternal nitya siddha devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that they are coming? Why does it say they're denizens of the heavenly planets?
Yeah, okay. So, so yeah, that's verse 63 from first chapter of 10th canto. And I was looking at the verse today, because of course yesterday you mentioned the verse, but of course the idea, as you mentioned, also didn't make full sense to me. So in those cases it's always important, just to clarify for you, although you may know, but whenever we like ask a question about a particular verse, it's always good to to make sure that we have gone through the verse as much as we can, in the sense of not only quoting the translation of one particular translation of the verse, but seeing if there are other translations, and which is the original Sanskrit, and which are the commentaries to that verse from the different acharyas, and what's being said before, what's being said after, what's the context of the statement. So if we were not able to sort out the whole thing by ourselves, then we present the question trying to make sense of that, as of course Sumati is doing. But yes, it's always important to try to, of course I know that sometimes that's not available for everyone, although all the commentaries and all those things, but some of them are, so it's always useful to see, to compare notes and insights and translations, and because not always it's exactly the same, you know? Especially, go through the main commentators, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the classical ancient ones, and from that try to, of course, when we go to the commentary of Srila Prabhupada or some other more contemporary acharya, of course we know which were the commentaries he was basing mm-hmm. himself on, so all that exercise helps to bring about what we call sangati, or reconciliation. So, in the translation that you've shared, it seems to say that every single associate of Krishna in the earthly lila is a denizen of heaven. But that's not what the Sanskrit says, basically. So that's why I'm mentioning it. Of course, again, not everyone knows Sanskrit, but somehow there are translations of the word by word, different editions and so on. And there's a particular word which is important here, which has to do with heaven, is deva, and devata, but the verse is devata praya. So devata praya, praya means like almost. Like when in Bhagavatam, sometimes it is described a neophyte devotee as Vaishnava praya, almost a devotee. Now, somehow the word Vaishnava appears in his label, Vaishnava praya, but still praya, almost. So here the word is devata praya, and they say sarva. Sarva means all. So sarva devata praya basically means almost all of the associate of Krishna on earth were denizens of heaven. Which of course that means nityasiddhas are outside of that particular category. So that would be like the immediate answer to the question.
So Nanda Maharaj is not mentioned in the verse. Like I said, I mean, on my iPad, I don't have the
Shrimad. I'll read the three verses all together. But let me first give context. Do you know who spoke this verse to whom? Which was the context?
Shukadeva Goswami is, I guess, speaking it.
I guess not. That's not the way to reply my question. I'm asking for certainty in this case. Always the opposite of faith. It's important to know who is speaking to whom, what's the context. So according to our acharyas, we could see that these are Narada Muni's words to Kamsa. Again, you have to get the whole picture. It's not just take one verse and why this verse is saying this. But what's the context of this verse? Who is speaking to whom? Why it's being this say, what they say before, what say. We have to take the trouble of going through all those same things, and then we cannot ask Maharaj. Still, I don't understand the verse. So, the context is, as you may know, and this is building up to tomorrow's Janmashtami, as you know, this Akashvani or this ethereal voice is saying when Devaki is being married with Vasudev, and you know, Kamsa is there conducting the chariot, and the boys come and say, "The child of Devaki will kill you." And Kamsa freaks out and wants to kill his cousin sister, right in the moment she was just getting married. It's not the best moment to kill your sister. Not any moment, but that's the worst possible one you can have. Wait till the marriage ceremony is over in one few hours. But he cannot contain him. Anyhow, so we know he puts them in jail, Vasudeva and Devaki, and eventually every time they have a child, Vasudeva is telling, "I will present the child, each one, after you, to you, so you can do whatever you want." And that was the way that Kamsa was pacified. And he presents the first child, and Kamsa says, "It's okay, no problem, Vasudeva. It's the eighth child that will kill me. So, it's okay, continue. You can keep the child, no problem." So the point is that Narad Muni, the background of this, of course, is before that Brahman, the Devas, went to the milk ocean and prayed to Bhagavan to descend, and Bhagavan said yes, and all of you Devas come to earth as denizens of earth. Remember that part. So all this had to be in the picture to understand this verse. Bhagavan is telling Brahman, other demigods, you go to earth as human beings, and I'll be there, and you will be there with me as my associates during the Leela. Okay, so all this starts to come. Krishna comes, the unfolding. I mean, Krishna's not coming yet, but the unfolding of the Leela. And Narada Muni, as we know, he's very much an orchestrator of the dynamics of the Leela. So he knows what will happen, what has to happen. And in order for Krishna to descend, some things have to trigger that, if you will. Some spices have to be there in the masala. And one of them is Kamsa, must be a bad guy. He cannot be a good guy. So here Kamsa is a good guy. Now with Vasudeva, it's okay, no problem with the first child. He's the eighth one, no rush, relax. And Narada Muni is saying, no, this is not working. This won't prompt the avatar of Bhagavan. So we need to do some stirring of the dal, if you will. So Bhagavan comes. So Narada Muni starts to speak to Kamsa. And starts like to, if you will, brainwash Kamsa, if you will. I'm telling this type of things, not like different things. Like for example, he starts to put, he takes one pera, which is one like fruit in India, and he puts 8 pieces of that in circle. So he says, Kamsa, you see this? Yes, which is 8 pieces of this fruit. Okay, which is the first? And Kamsa is like, I don't know. Why are you asking that? Well, because you heard that the 8th child of Devaki will kill you. But who knows? Is it the 8th coming backwards, forward, the first, the 8th? You never know. So it seems that Narada is like favoring Kamsa, but actually he's, again, stirring the dal and preparing the ground for that. So in that context, this verse, there are 3 verses actually taken as a compound that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, this is spoken by Narada to Kamsa. So I'll recite the 3 verses. Assuredly, Nandan, the other cowherds in Braj, the woman here, all the servants of these cowherds, in addition to Vasudev and other Brishnis, along with their wives and the family members, distant relatives and friends of both Nanda and Vasudev, though faithful to you, are gods for the most part. Bhagavan Narada came to Mathura, said this to Kamsa, and told him about the gods' endeavors to kill the Asuras, who were behaving as if they were a burden to the of the earth. So the point with this, of course, is Kamsa is not friends with the Devas, no? Because Kamsa is Asura, and we know about the eternal enmity of the two. So to further kindle like light that fire, Narada Muni is saying, actually, all these people who are here are Devas, almost all. And the Devas, you know, are the enemies of the Asuras, and you are an Asura. So all these Devas are like conspiring against you, Kamsa. So with this, Kamsa is like, we know how the story goes after this. Like he goes and takes all the children from Vasudeva and kills one after another and goes crazy and say, kill all the children in the whole village and so on. But the point is here, that's the context. No? Narada is trying, having a purpose in saying that. And he's mentioning, of course, Nanda, Maharaj, but he extends them, Vasudev and his relatives and distant relatives. So for the most part, they are gods. Again, this is not, the idea is, again, Devata Praya. So Praya, Devata Praya means, also another explanation for that is that some followers of Kamsa were part of the dynasties mentioned in this verse, but some of them are Asuras. So for the most part, are gods also can mean some of them are Asuras. They are close to you. They are your supporters. That's another way of explaining the Devata Praya. But Sanatana Goswami, for example, in his commentary to the verse, his Brihad Bhaskara Toshini, he says, the Lord's eternal associates are mentioned with the word Devata. So, Devata Praya means almost all of them are the nice things of heaven, and we could say the word Praya almost excludes the Asuras, but also excludes the Nitya Siddhas. Or another way to make the point that the Nanda and others are included in the proper way, the word Devata can mean gods, but also Devata not necessarily refers to the niceness of heaven also. No? Remember that the word Div, I don't know if we spoke here or where already I lost, but Div means to play. So Deva is someone who plays, no? Someone who is absorbed in play, and play means Lila. No? And those who are absorbed in play, I mean, of course, Krishna is absorbed in play, but he's playing with someone else. No? Lila, you cannot have Lila with one person. It's not that Krishna is having Lila with himself. He needs associates to have Lila, to play. And those associates are Nanda, Yashoda, Brajavasis, and so on. No? So in that sense, the word Devata can also refer to the Brajavasis. So basically, that would be the explanation in this particular verse, the different ways of understanding whether you take them as almost all our Devas, because again, the Devas came as Brajavasis and attained darshan of Bhagavan on earth, or if the word Deva has more connected with the idea of play, div, game, play, lila, Vinita's houses for Lila, and they will be called devas in that sense. The Sanskrit lends itself to different meanings. As we may know devas means demigods, and that's devas. Yes, usually, but it can be understood in another way as well. Well, I don't know if that helps.
But
that basically makes the difference. Yeah, there are devas appearing as Vrajavasis, if you will, but they are the Nitya Vrajavasis, if you will, the Ragatmikas, the Nitya Siddhas, who, of course, do not ever become. No? As sometimes we hear about Dronandhara or Prishnan Sutapa, these personalities in heaven, and sometimes it just seems to be said in the Bhagavatam or some commentaries that they performed tapasya because they wanted to have Krishna as their child. And they were born as Nanda and Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki. You're like, wait a minute, no? How's that happening? I mean, it's not possible. I mean, Nanda and Yashoda is always Nanda and Yashoda. There's not like before that who were any Nanda and Yashoda? If there's no Nanda and Yashoda, there is no Yashoda, Nanda and Krishna. So of course the idea is that these personalities, these two pairs, if you will, were the denizens of heaven, but wanted to experience Vatsalya Bhav, and by certain worship in the past, they entered the bodies of Nanda and Yashoda during the Prakat Lila, somehow, and they experienced, no, somehow vicariously what they were experiencing, but during that period, it's not that they became, because they are who they are, Nanda and Yashoda. So yeah, the point is, of course, that the Nitya Siddhas are. The word itself, it says, is Nitya Siddha, which means eternally existent. And Nitya Siddha can mean existent and mean perfect. So they eternally exist as perfect beings or perfect associates of Bhagavan. So yeah, it's good that when we hear those sections, like Sumati did, it's good not just like to pass the page, like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go next verse. No, wait a minute, what's one? This is not fitting, so you need to... And it's not that it's wrong, it's just that you need some extra layer of explanation, and of course Shastra will be full of those things. No? Not because there's some mistake again, but it's just, let's see how attentively one is like reading and going and... Sorry, yeah.
In Prabhupada's commentary, he talks about that there are denizens of the heavenly planets that are pure devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're waiting for Krishna's prakati that they can leave the heavenly planet and
be with Krishna. That's mentioned also in Shastra, that there are some personalities who go to the spiritual world. Let's say it's for some sadhaka who attain perfection, but some people who may be in the heavenly planets, again, not everyone, but certain people. And go to the spiritual world, I mean, they go from there to Golok, or they come to Gokul when Krishna is performed in. It's another way of saying they go to the spiritual world and from Gokul, Golok. So, again, that doesn't mean every single person in Swarga is a pure devotee, because Swarga is not Golok. But the idea of pure devotee means that they have reached a certain level of development in which what's next after that, to be born on earth and have the darshan of Krishna. No? That can happen. Sometimes Vibha Goswami speaks also in the Sandarvas about kram mukti, which means some devotee attains liberation, or for us liberation will mean more than that. But they have some desire to attain the ultimate goal by first going through different sequences and stages and other to visit some other places before reaching the ultimate goal. It can happen. Maybe it may not be your case, but some devotees may have that wish. Before finally landing in Golok, let me have a look at Swarga, Satyalok, Tapolok, and this and that. So they will like have a few stops in the flight, if you will.
Gopakumar
is not so much that example, no? Because it's not that he wanted to go there. Actually, every time he went to any place, he thought, oh, this is the place. And then realized, no, this is not the place. And he continued. So it's not that he already, okay, that's the place, but first I will have a tour on these ones. So it's another situation. But by mentioning that in the sense that, yeah, some people may be in heaven because of some whatever background of that person, and from there they are advanced enough to the next corresponding stage will be coming here and being an associate of Bhagavan in the Lila. So, yeah, that's an interesting point. We were speaking about that in the Brahma Stuti in the previous classes in Switzerland, because also in Shastras it's mentioned the Puranas and Jiva Goswami, the Sandarvas, and the commentary on the Bhagavatam, the Brahma Stuti verses, makes the point that there are demigods on earth, but also there are demigods in the spiritual world. And there are different entities. So here we have Brahma, Indra, and so on. Here, the ones from here. But there are the ones from there who eternally exist in the Lila and Golok to serve, to render service in the Lila. No? The moon, the sun. I mean, there is moon, there is sun. There is a particular deity corresponding with that we call demigod, but there are demigods from Vaikuntha upwards, if you will. So we could say that when Krishna is coming and performing his lila on earth, we will say that most of the demigods will appear as human beings, as it was said here, most, not Brahma. And the demigods that are the demigods in Golok, who are like somehow presiding over the Lila, they are the ones presiding over the Lila on earth as well. Because the earthly demigods cannot engage in that function. But they have the chance of appearing as humans and so on. Brahma will be kind of an exception. That's why we have Brahma Vimohan Lila. He's not appearing as a human. He's Brahma Vimohan. So anyhow, some thoughts on that topic. I don't know if there are any other questions. Krishna Jivani, yes?
I have a question regarding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder, like, does he know he's Krishna? Like, does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realizes? Because I have, like, when we read, like, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like, for example, when he's dancing in the Jagannath, in the Rathayatra, he's in ecstasy because he's like very happy, like he faints, right? And then when they wake him up, it's like, why did you wake me up? So does he realize that he's Krishna? Because sometimes when also, like, he doesn't tell him, oh my lord, he covers his ears and, ah, I don't want to hear. So does he know? Does he doesn't know? Does he?
Maybe both. Yeah, Mahaprabhu is a very interesting figure, for sure. He's our most interesting figure. And he's very complex personality regarding what's going on inside and who he is, and some shifts in his sense of being. You know? Because, of course, generally, the general idea is Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. That's the overall definition of who Mahaprabhu is, what his Abhiman, how he sees himself, which means he is Krishna, but having acquired the Radha Bhava Dyuti, the Bhava and the duty of Sri Radha. No? That means the mood and the complexion. In the words of Srila Sri Maharaj, the heart and halo of Radha. So he has these two. But it's Krishna, Krishna Swarupam. He's not Radha. He's Krishna experiencing Radha. What it means to be her, or to see him from her perspective, basically. No? Of course, as we know, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrishu Bhana Jaiva, and so on. These famous three desires that make Krishna appear as Mahaprabhu, to taste what's the glory of her love, Pranaya Mahima, was the beauty that she perceives in me, Krishna's wondering, second desire, and third, was the happiness she derives by perceiving that beauty. So the three are, one follows the other one. No? The first one is, what's the glory of her love, Krishna wonders. Then, once he tastes that, if you will, that allows him to go to the second one. What's the glory of her love that makes her perceive a certain beauty in me? What's the beauty she perceives in me through her love? And then the third one, what's the happiness she experiences by perceiving certain beauty in me through her love? The Krishna wants to have this like comprehensive experience as Mahaprabhu. I'm just mentioning this briefly. This is a long, long topic. So the question is, does Mahaprabhu realizes that he's Krishna or not? Or yes or no? Or sometimes or both, sometimes one, sometimes the other. So my point is again, he is generally in the mood of Radha, but generally doesn't mean always. No? Mostly he's in that temperament, you see? But sometimes we have seen, as it described, for example, in the even in Nitya Lila, Nitya Navadvip, Mahaprabhu will see some cowherds, and he will enter into Gopabhava, into the mood of him being who he is, Krishna, as a Gopa. Not Gopi Bhav, Radha Bhav, but Gopabhava. And even on earth, at least on earth, that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, let me make things a little bit more complicated for you, and then we'll go back. So Mahaprabhu exhibits many different things. Just go for a minute to the Prakat Lila. Let's not touch yet the Aprakat Lila, but the Lila on earth. So here on earth, Mahaprabhu is experiencing Radha Bhava, as we know. He's experiencing also Krishna Bhav, Gopa Bhav, as we mentioned. He feels himself to be Krishna for moments. It is said that in the Gambira, Mahaprabhu was accompanied by Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. And sometimes Ramananda Rai is compared to Subhav. His identity is complex. He's ascribed like five different identities. Swarup Damodar is mostly unanimously, almost, identified with Lalita Sakhi. But Ramananda Rai is compared sometimes with Subhal. Why? Because sometimes Mahaprabhu in Gambira, mostly he will be in Radha Bhav, so Swarup Damodar, being Lalita, will accompany him, her, will nourish that particular mood, being intimate, such an intimate friend of Sri Radha. But sometimes Ramananda Rai is compared with Subhal because sometimes Mahaprabhu and Gambira will taste not Radha Bhav, but again Krishna Bhav. No? He will enter into Krishna in separation of Radha, and then Subhal is necessary there because he's a Priyanaramasaka who will give support and consolation and hope to Krishna. You will meet her, will make the arrangements, it's work in progress and so on. So the point that shows how even in the Gambira, at times Krishna Mahaprabhu will taste Gopa Bhav, if you want to put it like that. Although mostly he will taste Gopi Bhav. That said, he will taste also, for example, in the famous Mahaprakash Lila that he exhibits in Shriva Sangam, that's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, 21 uninterrupted hours in which Mahaprabhu is showing, giving darshan, mostly in the mood of Bhagavan. So it's not even the mood of Krishna. Because mood of Krishna is I'm a Gopa. But in Mahaprakash Lila, he's mostly in the mood of Ishvara Bhava, God, I'm God. He sits in the throne. He goes to the altar and sits in the altar. And he starts to exhibit the moods of different avatars. Varahadev, he will show himself as Varahadev. And he will ask for the earth to be lifted, and I think Murari Gupta will come and bring some jar or something. He put the jar in our altar. And then he will taste Balaram Bhav, and he will say, Baruni, Baruni. And Nityananda will bring some glass of water. That's enough. He's already intoxicated. He doesn't need Baruni. He will bring the water like if it's Baruni. And like this, no? To Murari Gupta, he will show himself as Ramachandra. According to the corresponding Bhav of each devotee, he will show himself as in these all these forms, and even show the devotees their own forms in Krishna Lila, Ram Lila. So very Aishwaric section with them. Krishna there is not so much in the mood of Radha nor even in the mood of Krishna again, but in the mood of Vishnu, Ram, Varaha, Narsimha Dev at one point. And all this coming from the same person, Mahaprabhu. And a little bit more, the icing on the cake, if you will, is also Mahaprabhu is tasting not only all these moods, Ishvara Bhav, Krishna Bhav, Radha Bhav, but even he tastes what we call Manjari Bhav. That happens also at the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's narrated how Mahaprabhu is having a vision, and he faints in ecstasy. And after some time, the devotees are trying to bring him back by chanting Hari Nam. Mahaprabhu returns, and he starts to tell what he was seeing. He was saying, I was seeing Radha and Krishna having a union in Govardhan, and we were with other young girls picking flowers and having access to this intimate union, which only happens with the Manjaris. And I was in the midst of that pastime and assisting them, and suddenly you woke me up with some noise or something, which was Maha Mantra chanted by associate. But what Mahaprabhu was experiencing was such a thing that Mahaprabhu said, what's that noise that is taking me out from my inner experience? So he was also experiencing Manjariva. Interesting. We could say that's why the highest reach of the Gaudiya Sampradaya is Manjariva. And for that to be available through Mahaprabhu, somehow he himself had to taste it. So he himself went through the experience, and that became available through the Parampara, which of course many of them are Manjaris in the Leela. But he himself, Mahaprabhu, also like, if you will, tasted all the possible varieties, if you want to put it like that, of Radha Bhav. Of course, Manjari Bhav is not Radha Bhav per se, but it's Radha Bhav in the sense that the Manjaris are vicariously experiencing Radha Bhav. Whatever Sri Radha is going through, Manjaris are receiving the experience themselves after that, even if it's said in an upgraded version. Even the external symptoms will appear in them. That's made clear in the very first verse of Vilap Kusumanjali of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami is writing the verse, in his identity as Manjari, as Tulsi Manjari or Rati Manjari, can be both names. And he's joking with Rupa Goswami, in this case with Rupa Manjari. And he says, Hey Rupa, like, what's that like? Bruce, I don't know, biting you have on your lip, no? Because maybe a parrot came? Because there's no other option, because your husband is not in town for the last days. So, where that came from? That's the verse, basically. Of course, the implication, generally, the idea is like, Rati Manjari will like joke with Rupa Manjari like that, because actually, one could say, no, actually that parrot was Krishna, no? But also immediately the point will be, no, but Manjaris are not all about having direct connection with Krishna. So how to explain that love bite, if you will? And the idea is that happened on the body of Sri Radha. And Rupa Manjari was witnessing the Leela, and by empathic witnessing, by vicarious experience, that mark that came of Radha's lips appeared on Rupa Manjari's lips, like if she would receive the bite, if you will. So that basically speaks about how Manjaris are totally empathic and absorbed with the experience of their swaminis, their mistress. So Mahaprabhu also tasted Manjari Bhav. So not only he tasted, not only he knew he was Krishna at some point. So we could say, yes, at some point he knows he's Krishna. He knows, if you will, he's in that Abhiman. Of course, he's always Krishna. It's not that he stops being Krishna, but due to the waves, the currents, the dynamics of the Leela in which he is in as Mahaprabhu, he's being like carried by in different directions, if you will, different emotional directions. For moments, he's aware, he feels like Krishna, but for moments again, Radha, Bhagavan, Narsimha, this, that, Manjari's even. So that's why I'm saying he's a complex figure. You cannot just say that. He's that. Okay, one, bus. No, this, that, and that, and that, and that. So yeah. But at times, yes, he will go through that experience of Gopa Bhav, Krishna Bhav. But we could say that's not the most prominent one. I mean, the most prominent is Radha Bhav. That's why the whole Gaur Lila is there, basically. You know, the main project, the main intention of the project is Krishna wanting to taste Radha Bhav. You know? Incidentally, he will relish all these other varieties that I share, but the main focus, as we mentioned, the main three desires that make him appear as such, if you want to put it like that, is eternal reality. But that's the background of that eternal reality. Krishna wanting to savor the depths of the bottomless ocean of Radha's love for him. And of course, being a bottomless ocean, there is no end to the experience. And therefore, Gaur Lila has to be eternal. That's our main argument for Nityanavadi. Because, yeah, Mahaprabhu came to earth, he tasted that, he was successful, but you cannot say like he tasted everything and all, he finished the whole experience. It's not possible ever. So he needs to go, an eternal lila in which he's perpetually dedicated to go deeper and deeper and deeper into that bottomless ocean, and that's the eternal Navadvip, that specific chamber in Golok Vrindavan. Anyhow, that's another topic. What else? Something else? Any question? Comment? Yes?
I have one more. If no one has another question.
Yeah, she has, but we have time.
Oh, no problem. I was wondering, because I heard about Subhadra in Krishna Lila, like she was, like when you were reading, they were basically twins.
Hmm.
But where is Subhadra in Gaur Lila?
Subhadra in Gaur Lila.
Is she
Yoga Maya? Yeah. Yeah, Subhadra is basically one of many. Again, not only one. One of many representations of Yoga Maya. As we spoke the other day, Yoga Maya is there in the form of Purnamasi. Brinda Devi somehow represents that same agency, and Subhadra also is generally connected to her, to the principle of Yoga Maya. That's why to say that she's born simultaneously with Krishna, because Krishna is not born through the agency of Mahamaya or Maya Shakti. He's not forced to be born out of karma, if you will. It's not, as we will see tomorrow, it's not that when God comes to the world, he has to appear in a certain womb with a certain form because of his past actions. He always appears in the same form because his form is his eternal identity. He's not different from his form. So all that happens under the agency of Yoga Maya, this divine spiritual energy, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. So that's why he's born immediately with... That's one explanation. Yoga Maya, Subhadra and Krishna appearing together because his appearance happens in the context of the influence of Yoga Maya, of divine spiritual energy, not any mundane thing. So the question being, where is Subhadra in Gaur Lila? Well, as I mentioned, per se, Subhadra herself, she's, at least that I know of, there's no like corresponding figure like Subhadra is, but Yoga Maya appears in Gaur Lila, the personified, if you will, form of Yoga Maya in Gaur Lila is Sita Thakurani, which is the wife of Advaita Acharya. Somehow she's not born, of course, immediately like his twin of Nimai, but she's there immediately when Nimai is born, and she's like the elder giving blessings and actually giving the name Nimai to him. So, yeah, it is mentioned that Sita Thakurani is the personification of Yoga Maya in Gaur Lila. Sometimes, I mean, we have this type of ideas in our tradition where the energy is conceived as an energy and as a personified form of the energy. As a person, but also as an, you know, like for example, all this is Maya Shakti. Not necessarily in the sense of illusion, but just matter. Inner matter belongs to that category, Maya Shakti. So, whatever. But then you have Maya Devi, who is a person. So, it's in connection with the same agency, but there is a difference, if you will, there. So similarly, sometimes we hear about Yoga Mayas and energy, but also the person. So in Gaur Lila, Yoga Mayas and energy is called Protamaya. Protamaya. And sometimes also she's connected. You go to Navadvip, there are deities of Protamaya. Sometimes she's connected. It's another way of saying Yoga Maya in Gaur Lila. And she's connected many times with also with Parvati. And of course, there you have the connection, because Parvati is the concept of Shiva, and Sita Thakuran is the concept of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya, not only is Mahavishnu, but it's also Sada Shiva. Yeah, that's the idea. Collapse. So, somehow all these things are interconnected. You know? Oh, that's confirmed. We may need the. No, we don't have it?
I just don't know how to use it.
Sorry?
I don't know how to use it.
Oh?
I could try.
Do you know? Present there? No.
I have no idea.
Next time you have to be. Okay, Sumati. Before the rain becomes heavier and nobody can hear anything else. You will have to speak loud because I'm not starting to hear.
The question I asked you, like when you said to ask.
Oh, I see. Can you repeat it?
It's about Brahma Mahaprabhu in the Gambira, and then it's the end of the Lila. The Lila, like you say, is eternal. So he was successful in experiencing Radharani's love for Krishna. So if that keeps on expanding eternally, his experience of her love, but is it always that he's in separation? Is it love and separation that continue expanding? And there's never any union or
I don't think it's too complicated. It should be some button or something. On, off. Some light has to appear on this in the front.
Usually there's a blue light.
It's plugged.
Yes, plugged. Yeah, power's on.
And the mic is with the cable is in the right place also.
Not plugged in.
Okay, I'll start meanwhile. So, I understood the question is like, the question is more regarding Nitya Navadvip. If in Nitya Navadvip the experience of Mahaprabhu is mostly
in
separation than in, if you will.
So it's continually like it's going deeper and deeper.
That's there, yeah. Just in case, maybe we won't need it, but yeah, maybe we need it.
Hello, hello. That's not too loud. It's okay. Can you hear me? Yes.
For sure.
Okay. So, there is an interesting point mentioned in one book called Sanat Kumar Samhita, which is one of the old book in which the even also the if you will the doctrine of Manjari Bhav is mentioned for the first time, and from there the Goswamis draw and develop their presentation. So at one point Sada Shiva is speaking there, again, we are invoking presence. And he will speak about three aspects of Radha. And these three will correspond with Mahaprabhu in different places. And I hope that has to do with your question. So one is called Samyogini. The other is called Viyogini. And the other is called Ladini. Basically those are the three. So it is said that when Christians go into Mathura, go to Earth for a minute, no? Lila Earth. Christians go into Mathura and an expansion goes out of Vrindavan. No? The original Krishna turns in manifest. So Radha remains in Vrindavan, crying in separation for Krishna. So that's Viyogini Radha. Viyoga means separation. Of course, every word for separation in Sanskrit indicates also a special type of union. Because yoga means union. And Viyoga means Vishesh Rupa Yoga. Vishesh means a very special type of union. We call it separation. Or viraha. No? Again, viraha means, raha means like some secret place. And viraha means a very secret, intimate meeting place. But it's known as separation. Again, externally separation, but in a very intimate, secret spot inside, there's union. And so on. All these words, viraha, viyoga, and so on, all of them are speaking separation, but actually a special type of union, because as our Guru Maharaj says, in separation, the feelings that in union one, when one meets developed in union, feelings are externalized. And in separation, feelings are internalized, and everything becomes further more and more condensed and churned. As Guru Maharaj said the other day, in union, you see one Krishna. In separation, you see unlimited Krishnas. Everything becomes, everyone and everything becomes udipana or stimulant that reminds one of the beloved. So, Krishna multiplies in separation, if you will. Of course, it's not that we are promoting separation per se, no? And if they are together, let's separate them. No? The whole dynamics of the Lila is let's get Radha and Krishna together. But separation is having a very crucial purpose, because of course if there is no separation, there is no union. And if I always with you, I cannot speak technically about union, because I'm there. Union means you are not united and then you're united. So for that you need separation. If there is no separation, there is no union. So anyhow, so when Krishna's leaving Vrindavan, going to Mathura, Radha remains in Braj crying, that's Viyogini Radha. So she's experiencing separation or a special type of union, if you will. Then we have a second instance in their earthly lila, which is when Radha leaves Vrindavan. Does Radha leave Vrindavan?
No.
No? Are you sure?
Oh,
good. Oh. She leaves Vrindavan once. Solar eclipse. Not for Bhagavad Gita. Solar eclipse. All Vrajavasis leave Vrindavan. Of course, they leave Vrindavan to make a point about Vrindavan. To try to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan and in doing so, extolling the glory of Vrindavan. No? Because that's the conclusion when Krishna is telling Radha and the gopis, you can come with me to Dwarka, we can get together. And Radha said, no, there's no Vrindavan. Where is Vrindavan? We went out of Vrindavan just to chant the glories of Vrindavan. So in that sense, they didn't go out of Vrindavan. But they did. And Sri Radha was in Kurukshetra. So the Radha that's meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra, there's meeting, but there's separation at the same time, because they cannot meet as she cannot meet with him, unite with him as she will like. So there's another variety of separation there. And that Radha is called Samyogini Radha. So Viyogini means separation in general. Samyogini means full separation. So full separation, interestingly, happens when she's next to Krishna, in front of Krishna, like in Kurukshetra. But
she cannot unite. That's where Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I want to leave my body in Kurukshetra. Because at that moment, Sri Radha is experiencing this high peak of separation. You know? And she needs so much assistance, consolation. I want to die there and enter into that eternal moment and serve her forever. Not necessarily in Kurukshetra, but the point is, that point when she's in the greatest need of services, we spoke these days, how much neediness is there. So that's Sam Yogini, Radha, always says Sanat Kumar Samhita. So, and the third one is Ladini Radha, and that's the Radha who is the original Radha in Vrindavan with Krishna, without experiencing separation, basically. Krishna is there, and she's there. So these are the three Radhas. So Mahaprabhu, going to Mahaprabhu now, is Krishna in Radha Bhav, as we say. Sorry for some of you, I know that these topics are way above your head. It's way above my head as well. I'm trying to say something and I'm probably talking too much, but anyhow, bear with me. So, I did this Q&A, so in case some more introductory question will come, we end up speaking about things that are even way higher than all that we spoke all this week, so... You have to blame the ones for asking the question. I'm just here. So Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Radha Bhav. So the question is, which of these three? Which of these three Radhas? He's in which Bhava of these three? Do you follow my point? Because we have these three Radhas mentioned in the Sanat Kumar Samhita. So there will be a connection to each one of these three according to different moments of the Leela of Mahaprabhu. It's mostly this in connection to the earthly lila, so first I will say that and then we'll go there. So, for example, when Mahaprabhu is meeting Rai Ramananda in Godavari in South India, when they have this sambad, this conversation, famous conversation, Ramananda sambad, they say that Mahaprabhu there is in the mood of Samyogini Radha, the one that Radha experiences in Kurukshetra. At one point of the conversation with Ramananda starts to speak about certain things in connection to Radha, Mahaprabhu enters that mood. When Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri, in Gambira, as sannyasi, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he's in the mood of Biyogini Radha. Mostly Radha in separation. Mostly, again, we already mentioned that there are different moments. We are speaking about mostly. So Biyogini Radha is Radha in separation of Krishna when he goes to Mathura and so on. So we have Mahaprabhu with Ramananda Roy in South India, Samyogini Radha. Mahaprabhu in Gambir and Puri, Biyogini Radha. And then we have Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And that's the mood in which he is in is Ladini Radha, or the Radha who is the Radha in Vrindavan, if you will, with Krishna, because Mahaprabhu is in Navadvip. Navadvip is Vrindavan, basically. No? So basically the idea is that in this sense, Navadvip, of course, for us is the supreme dham, with all respect to Godavari, South India, Jagannath Puri. But Gaur Lila in Navadvip is the supreme Lila, if you will, the supreme version of Gaur Lila, because it's there that Mahaprabhu is tasting that Radha, if you will, no? The Radha in union with Krishna in Vrindavan and so on. And that's why we are not worshipping Mahaprabhu as we know as a sannyasi outside of Navadvip, in Puri, or anywhere else, but as Nadia Bihari, he who performs Leela eternally in Navadvip. So that's his Nitya Swarup, his eternal identity, not Naimittika Swarup, like an incidental identity. So, of course, when Mahaprabhu is performing the earthly Leela, he's showing by example how to enter into the Nitya Lila. So he accepts sannyas and he goes to Puri and he goes through these different degrees of separation to teach how to get union. But in Nitya Navadvip, I mean, he doesn't need to teach anyone about how to do that. I mean, they are there already, they are in the Lila. So he's mostly there in Nitya Navadvip tasting what he tastes in Navadvip here, he's tasting in Navadvip there. That particular side of Sri Radha when she's in Vrindavan with Krishna. There is separation, nonetheless, on a daily basis in Vrindavan, but it's of another type, not the type of Krishna leaving Vrindavan, meeting him in Kurukshetra or something. So, I hope that helps.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so 7:30. No, sorry. One last question. We can conclude with one last question, and then maybe something else. Let's see. Akshay.
So I remember when you were going through all the Bible Prakash and
Bible Prakash. I hate Bible Prakash.
Bible Prakash and Prabhav Prakash.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff. I was just like wondering. So. Krishna, there's Krishna in the uppercut, and then there's Krishna in Prakat. So then, is Krishna in Prakat Prabhav Prakash or Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Krishna?
Again, repeat this the last part.
So, is Krishna in the Prakat Leela?
Uh-huh.
Prabhav Prakash of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna? Or are they one and the same? That's why I get confused.
I mean, Swayam Bhagavan is the one who is executing the Leela on earth. Oh. It's not only the Bhagavan in Vrindavan. No? I mean, for example, as we were explaining on Baladev Purnim, I mean, first, let's remember what's Prabhav Prakash and Vaibhav Prakash. You tell me.
Vaibhav Prakash is like is the same but just slightly different in character, and the Prabhav Prakash is different
in color.
Yeah,
which is indicating the other. And Prabhav Prakash?
Prabhav Prakash is just a change in mood, correct? Maybe I have mixed up there.
Prabhav Prakash are those forms which are identical to the original.
Yeah.
But are expansions of the original, because the original is called in the language of Rupa Goswami Swayam Rupa, and we gave the example, for example, of Rasa Lila. Krishna is dancing with Radha in the middle of the mandal of the circle. So Swayam Rupa, the original Krishna, if you will, is with Radha, the original Shakti, Adi Shakti, but he expands and dances with each gopi. And those expansions are exactly the same as the original, so they are called Prabhav Prakash. There's no difference. You cannot make a difference between the two. They are equal. But there's one original, not like they give the example of the candle. There's the original candle, Brahma Samhita, that gives that example, and the other that likes other candles. They seem all the same, but there was one original candle. So that original Krishna, I mean, that example is of the Rasa Lila, and that Rasa Lila is describing the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is describing Prakat Lila. Bhagavatam is not describing Aprakat Lila.
Yeah, right.
So if that happens in Prakat Lila, means Swayam Bhagavan, the original Krishna, of course, is the one performing his Lila here. So of course, then comes the question, just to, again, make things a little bit more complicated. Because we may have this idea, okay, the original Krishna is in Golok Vrindavan, and here on earth comes a Prabhav Prakash, if you will, some expansion, because if the original from Golok comes here, then who remains in Golok?
Yeah.
Is there some sign like just gone to earth for a few moments and back? No. So that then comes the whole explanation given by, for example, Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha about Prakat Lila and Aprakat Lila, another complex issue, which is Krishna, the original Krishna, is in Golok, and the original Krishna is on earth at the same time. And not only Krishna, but all of his associates. So Nanda and Yasoda are there, Nanda and Yasoda, and the Leela is happening constantly in some planet earth always. So it's not that they come here for a while, they go all back to Golok and see you planet earth in a few yugas. Constantly the Leela is taking place in some planet earth and some universe to give the chance also to the advanced sadhakas to be born in that planet. So the point is, they are always, the original form of Krishna is always in planet earth with his associates, but always in the Nitya Leela at the same time.
And not expansion.
No. Yes. Yeah, that's the idea. that's why over and over and over we make that point. Bhagavan has a chintya shakti. He has potency that allow him to do things that otherwise are impossible. Called agatana ghatana piyasi, which means that which makes the impossible possible. I know that this may sound simplistic. No? He has that and he can do whatever he likes. End of the conversation. No, there's lots of explanation how that happens, but at the end of the day, he's God and you are not. So he can do things you cannot do. He can do things you cannot even think about. When you try to think about the things, smoke starts to come and you collapse. What to speak of doing the things yourself? You cannot even start like that. So the only way to understand those things over and over again is said, you go to revelation, Shastra is saying some things, you accept them in the context of proper faith, and then everything will make sense. It's not that it won't make sense, but don't try to make everything fit on your head. It won't work. Tarko pratishtanat, says the scriptures over and over again. Through logic only, through head only, you end up nowhere, it says basically. Apratishtana. Pratishta means position. Apratishta means no position whatsoever, limbo. Tarko apratishtana. Through tarka. Tarka means logic, head, calculation. Apratishtana. You end up nowhere. If you try to apply logic to transcendence, that's the context. Because people can use logic on certain level and it's okay. But if you want to understand God with logic, you will go anywhere, nowhere. So you have to resort to revelation, and then you can use logic in the context of what has been revealed. That's called Shastra Yukti. You apply your logic and your head in the context of what has been revealed that you cannot imagine if revelation is not there. So yeah. Prakat, aprakat.
Very merciful.
And of course, there is more to that, just to conclude. A little bit more of smoke, I want to see. Because it's described that in every lila, and this is described by the Goswamis as well, there are different prakashas. The word prakash also can mean, that is called prakoshta, which is like portals or different dimensions of the lila. Different things are happening simultaneously in different situations. Like Guru Maharaj gives this example, if you are on a plane and you can see different movies, mm-hmm. and in the same plane there are different movies, you see all the people and everyone, but it's in the same, or you go to one cinema and there you can see different movies in the same place. So in the lila there are different dimensions. Again, this is difficult because we think of I go to Golok like if it's a geographical place. You know? And I take the plane, the Bimana, and three-dimensional, I'm there, this is it, okay. But it's not like that. It's not a place made of matter. It's not something you can measure. It's not geographical. It's emotional. It's an emotional landscape. You cannot travel there with any spaceship or anything. It's just a... It's a journey in terms of consciousness. And I understand this is not easy to understand because, again, it's like, what are you talking about? No? You are speaking about a place which is not geographical. But what's there? What's that there? No? It's a state of consciousness. And that creates the place is made of, Sandini Shakti. That's the one of the elements of Swarup Shakti that makes the Dham, and so on. It's literally an emotional landscape, not figuratively, literally. It's made of emotions. To begin with, that's the whole idea, no? Chaitanya Charitam says, Vaikuntha prithivya adi sakal chinmoy. From Vaikuntha upwards, even the dust is transcendental touchstone. So it's not dust. It appears to be dust, but it's made of prem, made of, again, it's another substance altogether. You can imagine you need to go beyond the influence of matter to really understand what we are talking about. Now we can just say those things. We give the definitions, but to really realize and understand that, we have to cross over all these layers of prejudice and illusion and calculation, and eventually it will all make sense in that plane finally. So the point is that in Vrindavan there are different dimensions of the lila. So one dimension something is happening, another dimension something else is happening, like the Brahma Vimohan lila. And Brahma thought I kidnapped the boys and so on, but the boys were in another dimension of the lila without being touched by Brahma. Having picnic and so on, and they were there. And another dimension, Krishna is there looking for the calves and the boys. So different dimensions to the same lila. So sometimes, just to give you a glimpse and just a little, one more moment. For example, in Ujjval Nilamani, which is the sequel to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which Rupa Goswami delves very deeply into Madhurya Rasa, he doesn't do in detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he touches that. Why he was not so detailed about Madhurya Rasa? Because he's planning to write another book about that, which is way longer than the first one, even. Ujjval Nilamani, which means like blazing sapphire. Nilamani means blue jewel or blue sapphire. Ujjval means blazing. So it's another way of saying Radha Krishna. Krishna is the blue sapphire and Radha is the blazing side. The Shakti, the lightning and the dark cloud. Generally. So my point is, there Rupa Goswami, among other topics, he describes prem, divine love. And as we said yesterday, I think the developments of prem, sneha, mam, pranaya, raga, nurag, bhav, mahabhav. And then he starts to describe the developments of mahabhav, which find their zenith in something called madanakya mahabhav. I won't torture you with more technicality. I'm already doing that, but no more. So madanakya mahabhav is the highest possible level of experience that Shri Radha can have. Only she can have that. Nobody else reaches that level. Madanakya Mahabhava. She expressed that in the Brahmar Gita and some other moments. But the point is, the ultimate union of, the ultimate zenith, highest point of Madanakya Mahabhava happens when Radha is in union with Krishna. So Rupa Goswami explains this. Madanakya Mahabhav, the zenith is in union, rather united with Krishna. And then he gives some examples, as he's usually doing. He says something himself, and then he quotes from Shastra to support. So then he will quote two verses. We won't enter into details of the verses, but the verses are, the two of them, describing Sri Radha in separation from Krishna. So then you wonder, but Madanakya Mahabhav happens in union. So why, when he says Madanakya Mahabhava happens in union between Radha and Krishna, he supports that by quoting two verses that describe Radha in separation? So what's the explanation there? For this, we need to speak about this Prakash, these different dimensions. It is said that there are different dimensions in the lila, Abhimam Ved and Prakash Ved. Ved means difference. So there are difference in Prakash, different manifestation, and there's difference in Abhiman. Abhiman means one sense of self. In different dimensions, each inhabitant of the lila is having a separate sense of self, a separate experience. Again, we'll be careful with this. So it is said that Sri Radha may be united with Krishna in one Prakash of the lila, in one dimension, but in another dimensions, she's experiencing separation from Krishna. And when her experience of Madanakya Mahabhava reaches like a high point, all the other experiences she's having in all the other prakash overflow and come to her in that prakash in which she's experiencing union with Krishna. So she will be united with Krishna, but suddenly she will be like bombarded by what she's experiencing in the other prakashes and separation. And she will start to cry and say things in separation with Krishna is next to her. No? And speak in a way that doesn't make sense, basically. No? Like disconnected speech. No? Jalpa, it's called. Different type of jalpa, which means, we know about prajalpa, which means basically weird talk. crazy talks. Radharani speaks lots of that in the Leela, but not as us. But Jalpa, Chitra Jalpa, Vijalpa, Parijalpa, different varieties of mad talk. So I'm saying this in this sense, you know, like she's experiencing, in that union with Krishna, she's experiencing all the separation in other prakashas. She starts to speak in this way, and that's one of the ways we can say, and Krishna is seeing that, and like, what's going on? What's happening? I mean, he knows she's experiencing Mahabhava, Matanaki Mahabhava, and Krishna becomes curious. What's that? I kind of understand what she's, I need to taste that. And again, that's another beginning, that's another way of saying Gaur Lila. Mahaprabhu is there too. What's that? So, anyhow, something in connection to this idea of the Bhagavan is here, but it's also there. To begin with, we have to deal with our own case here, today, here, no? Like we have been speaking this day, so let's keep on that. Now work with the one situation we are in here, and eventually everything else will come from that. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai, Sri Rao Ji Gopal ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Priman Hari Bol.